It's great to see everyone here this morning that can be here, even though we have several people out. It's great to see all of you who've chose to be here this morning as we study another portion of God's Word. I encourage you, first of all, to turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 50, verses 24 through verse 25. And I'm going to throw this mic on here and hope that it works, and if it doesn't, it's just a waste of time. All right. But if you turn there to Genesis chapter 50, and if you were there, I want to notice what Moses has to say. And this is what he wrote. He said, verse 24, "And Joseph said to his brethren, I am dying, but God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land of which he swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Then Joseph took an oath from the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from here." We find in Exodus chapter 13 that Moses did exactly that as he's taking his bones to Shechem. In verse 9, this is what he writes, "It shall be a sign to you on your hand." Verse 19. 9 was not 19. "And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had placed the children of Israel under solemn oath, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from here with you." The Hebrew writer, the book of faith in chapter 11, as we look at all the people that he writes down in here that has this great faith, this is what he says about Joseph in verse 22. "By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the departure of the children of Israel and gave instructions concerning his bones." You know, it amazes me, and I find it really interesting as well, that the Holy Spirit mentions the dying of Joseph, but doesn't tell us much about his incredible life in the book of Hebrews. It's just that one verse there that tells us about them carrying his bones to Shechem. So I would like to take the time this morning to take a look at Joseph's life. And I feel like it's a good lesson that we can learn as children of God from the example that Joseph has set. You know, the few people in all the Bible that resemble Jesus like Joseph did. He was hated. He was falsely accused. He was sold. He forgives, and he becomes a salvation to his people. That's something, isn't it? What an important point. Joseph's life is a series of repeating themes. And these themes happen three different times in his life. The first, he is blindsided by trouble. Genesis chapter 37, and we will stay in the book of Genesis throughout most of this first part of our lesson. So Genesis chapter 37. And we're going to start reading at verse 23. "So it came to pass, when Joseph had come to see his brothers, that they stripped Joseph of his tunic, the tunic of many colors that was on him. Then they took him, cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty. There was no water in it." So we take and we think about, and to me, what an important point that's brought out here. His brothers hated him so bad. They envied Joseph. And I have to say, that's probably part of Jacob's fault, because he loved Joseph more than he loved his other sons. When a parent does that, it creates an enormous amount of hatred. And, of course, they hated him. And so when they saw him coming, because his father said, "Go check on your brothers and make sure that they're okay. I haven't heard, and you want to hear about how the sheep are and everything." So he did just that. And as they saw him coming, they were plotting on how to kill him. And so when they threw Joseph into that pit and took away his coat of many colors, I want you to understand that Joseph had no idea what was happening there. He was blindsided, just like many of us are in our faith today. And he was definitely blindsided. And again, this repeated again in Genesis chapter 39, another blindsidedness that begins at verse 6 here. And of course, Joseph was such a great person, and he was doing such a great job. He was sold two times, sold first to the Ishmaelites, and then sold to, Potiphar. And so, I'll get it straight. Sold to Potiphar. Okay, I want you to notice something here. Joseph was doing so well for Potiphar that he had charge of his entire house. Anything that was done in Potiphar's house had to go through Joseph first. Wow. But here's a little bit of a problem. Verse 6. Thus he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he did not know what he had except for the bread which he ate. So Joseph knew more what Potiphar had than Potiphar did. So now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. And it came to pass after these things that the master's wife cast longing eyes on Joseph, and she said, "Lie with me." But he refused and said to his master's wife, "Look, my master does not know what is with me in the house, and he has committed all that he has to my hand. There is no one greater in this house than I, nor has he kept back anything from me but you, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" So it was, as she spoke to Joseph day by day, that he did not heed her to lie with her or to be with her. But it happened about this time, when Joseph went into the house to do his work, and none of the men of the house were inside, that she caught him by his garment, saying, "Lie with me." But he left his garment in her hand and fled and ran outside. There is no way that Joseph saw this going to happen. He has denied her every time that she's requested it. And then the third one. It is repeated again when he is promised to be released from prison. I want you to go to chapter 40 now. We're going to come back to these other chapters in just a moment. Chapter 40, and look at verses 9 through verse 14. The chief butler told his dream to Joseph and said to him, "Behold, in my dream a vine was before me, and in the vine there were three branches. It was as though it budded. It blossoms shoot forth, and its clusters brought forth ripe grapes. Then Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup, and placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand." And Joseph said to him, "This is the interpretation of it. The three branches are 3 days. Now within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore to your place, and you will put Pharaoh's cup in his hand according to the former manner when you were his butler. But remember me when it is well with you, and please show kindness to me, make mention to me to Pharaoh, and get me out of this house." Oh, wow. Wow. And the butler gets put back just as Joseph told him it would happen. And he forgets Joseph. Joseph spends more time in prison. 2 years. Oh, what a sad thing. Blindsided by troubles. Oh, we know quite a bit about being blindsided by troubles. We don't expect some things to happen. We don't expect a sudden illness to happen, but it does. We don't expect a tornado to come through and just completely destroy everything that we've got, but it happens. We don't expect a fire to take and destroy our home and all the pictures of our kids and our grandkids, our great-grandkids are completely destroyed. It does happen. We don't expect a car accident to take place and to lose a loved one in the accident. But it happens. Blindsided. It's not something we expect. It's not something we can prepare for. And it definitely is a very big test of our faith. And certainly Joseph set the example of one when it came to his faith. The second series of cycles of Joseph's life follows each of these blind spots. After Joseph was put into the pit, his brothers sold him. He was taken miles from his home and was living among the pagans. And Joseph wouldn't see his family for 37 years. Can you imagine what that would be like? The things got worse than that. This again, not only did his boss's wife falsely accuse him, but Joseph lost his position, lost his job, and was put in prison. Not only that, for the third time again, not only was he in prison, he was left there for 2 years, and it got worse each time he was blindsided. The third part of this cycle is the most important part of our lesson. He never gave up on God. Throughout all the different things that he was tested with, he never gave up on God. When you go to the 42nd chapter there of the book of Genesis, you're going to find that he got to see his brothers again. And in verses 45, or chapter 45, verses 1 through verse 7, we can see the final response that he had toward his brothers there. He could have had a lot of bitterness towards his brothers, and rightly so. But notice verse 1. Then Joseph could not restrain himself before all those who stood by him, and he cried out, "Make everyone go out from me." So no one stood with him while Joseph made himself known to his brothers. And he wept aloud. And the Egyptians in the house of Pharaoh heard it. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph." I can just in my mind, just imagine the mouth dropping that was done by the brothers when they found out that this person that was responsible for feeding them because of this dearth or this time that they had no food or anything, he said, I can just imagine that their mouths dropped open. They said, "What? You're Joseph?" Yeah. Joseph was crying, weeping. Then he said, but his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed in his presence. And Joseph said to his brothers, "Please come near to me." So they came near. Then he said, "I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold in Egypt. But now do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years, the famine has been in the land, and there are still 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvesting. And God sent me before you to preserve a posterity for you in the earth, and to save your lives with great deliverance. Wow. What great faith. You know, some of these things that we see here are things that even Joseph didn't recognize until it happened. He didn't recognize why he was being sold to the Ishmaelites. I'm sure it was very difficult to be sold once again, because the scripture says he was a very handsome looking young man. He was 17 years old. What a sad situation it is. You and I, we have the same problem, the same cycle. There are people that say, I don't think I can get through this. The devastation, the things that happen to them, it tries their faith to the point they just want to give up. And my goodness, Job was a man that did not give up all the way to the end, and yet his wife was ready to give up. That's what happens when our faith is tested. A lot of times when our faith is tested with these different things that Job went through, we just want to quit. We don't want to do anything anymore. But we fail to realize so many important facts. How can we go on? We need to remember four important truths. First of all, as you can see on your outline, perseverance. Perseverance. Getting through this does not mean that everything will return back to the way it was. Persevere means to persist in pursuing something in spite of the obstacles or opposition. I feel like the church at Philadelphia was a great church to show that they persevered. The scripture says, because you have kept my commandment to persevere, I will always keep you from the hour of trial which you shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. Revelation 3:10. Perseverance is so important when it comes to getting through some devastating times in life. Joseph went through things that you and I never will have to go through. And he made it through it because he put his faith and trust in God. Oh, there's plenty of biblical examples of those individuals who got through these real devastating times. And they got through them. Prayer. Prayer, I mentioned in our Bible class this morning, is the most powerful tool that we have. And probably the most neglected tool that we have. Paul said to the brethren of Thessalonica, pray without ceasing. To the elders at the church at Ephesus in Ephesians 6:18, he said, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18. And then there's another thing that you see on your outline, point number 3. Focus on the goal. Getting through this is about salvation of your soul. It means heaven. What Joseph went through meant salvation for his brothers and his father, the Israelites. and the opportunity to be able to leave that land of Egypt and go back to their homeland. Yeah. But it didn't happen overnight. As a matter of fact, Joseph never got to go back to the homeland. His bones did. Yeah, he told them that they would get to go back. They would come out of this bondage. Wow. Wow. Focus on the goal. I would encourage you to turn your Bibles to 1 Peter. And I want you to notice what Peter had to say and how important it is. 1 Peter chapter 1, and we'll just begin reading here at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. Now look what Peter is saying here. You're going to have to go through trials and tribulations here on this life. It's not going to go away. You're going to be blindsided by some things. You're going to say, wow. It's going to catch you off guard. You're not going to be prepared for it because it's something you didn't count on. He goes on to say, he says, the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see Him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible, full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Oh, the next verse, verse 10. I don't have that on your outline, but you might want to pencil that in. Of this salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when He testified beforehand that the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. Look what Christ did for man. Look what he's saying here. Peter is saying the importance of having such a strong faith. Having that strong faith is salvation. Oh, yeah. Joseph had that kind of faith. He truly believed that God was with him. And then the last point that I have on your outline, and that is faith. Getting through this journey of faith. And you will only get through it by your faith. The Hebrew writer tells us in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, without faith it is impossible to please God, for we must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. When we don't put our faith and our trust in God when we go through these various trials that we have gone through and that we are going through, then it shows a weakness, not a strength. Paul said to the brethren at Corinth in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7, we walk by faith. So it's so important that we have such a strong faith when we're going through the trials and tribulations of this life. I think one of the most important things that comes to my mind when we lose a loved one is to understand that their body has made that change that has to be changed before we can be ready for Christ when He comes again and receives those who are His. So we've lost several loved ones this week, and yet understanding that if you are in Christ, the angels have carried them to paradise where they await the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I take comfort in those words. And you should too. To know that if you are in Christ, that the angels will take you to paradise. Faith. Without faith, you cannot please God. If you're not pleasing God, there is no way that you're going to have the opportunity to be prepared for Jesus. Oh, God is a wonderful Father. And that's exactly what Joseph knew. Joseph knew who to put his faith and trust in, even though he went through such a terrible ordeal. I mean, he went through some terrible things in his life. Oh. And in our Bible class, the adult Bible class, we've been studying about Job. And my goodness, Job went through so much more than about anybody could begin to imagine. But he had faith in God. He said, "The very God that takes this from me is the very God that can give it back." Yeah. But as you can see on your outline, like Joseph, like early Christians, like brethren today, by faith we will continue to worship, walk with God, and be the light of the world. In the worst times, our lights can shine the brightest. How are we going to get through when our eyes are full of tears? God will help us. It is by faith that we long for a land where there are no more tears, where there is no more death, where there is no more mourning. How can we get through when my life has changed so much? And I want to talk about that just for a moment before we come to an end. It will never be like it was when these drastic things take place. If your home is completely destroyed by a tornado, it may not be as big a house as you had before. It may not be the same style of a house as you had before. If you lost a loved one because of a car accident, it changes life. It changes things because that loved one is gone. You're no longer in that part of life anymore. It's a beginning of a new life. We've got to go a different way. But God definitely is there with us to help us get through those things. Faith that we long for a land where there are no more tears, no death, no mourning. But notice on your outline what Satan's goal is. His goal is, he wants you to get mad and quit. He wants you to stop doing it. He wants you to quit going that way. That's really what Job's wife was telling Job when she said, "Curse God and die. Stop. What you're doing is not helping you at all. It's hurting you. You're suffering. Just go on ahead and curse God and die and get it over with." That's what Satan would want you to do. But when you're going through trials and tribulations of life, open up your Bible. Read it diligently. and pray like you've never prayed before. God will get you through it. I want you to notice, he got Joseph through it. He got Daniel through it when he was thrown into the lion's den. He got our Lord and Savior through it. And he'll get you through it also. If you're here this morning and you've never been obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ, we extend to you an invitation this morning that you would come forward, that you would confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that you would be buried in that watery grave of baptism to have your sins washed away, to be remembered no more. Oh. And to know that if you are in Christ, the wonderful thing that Christ has prepared for us beyond this life. He told the disciples he's gone to prepare a mansion. Yeah. Oh. Interesting point that was made this morning, and I appreciate it so much. We can't even begin to imagine what heaven is going to be like. We can't come close. There's nothing on earth like it. Nothing close to it. If you've fallen away from the gospel of Jesus Christ and you brought shame and reproach upon the church, come forward and confess those sins. Ask God for forgiveness, and he'll forgive you. His desire is that every single individual upon the face of the earth would be saved. That's God's desire. That's why he gave his only son. If you haven't been washed in the blood of the Lamb through baptism, we encourage you to do that this morning as together we stand and sing the song of invitation.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word,